wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24, 3 through 4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
Matthew 21, and when they drew nigh, today is Palm Sunday. We used to go around with palm branches. Yeah, and we'll be singing in the whole area. We'll be with a brass band. Some of you don't know those things, but it doesn't matter. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto thee, ye shall say, The Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. You know, this verse, one day we'll come back here. But when the Lord has need of something, you are supposed to straightway let it go. I didn't hear amen. Yeah. When the Lord needs something, it is your assignment immediately to release it. All this was done, verse 4, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye, mark verse 4. This morning we are preaching about spiritual appointments. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and straw them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the King, to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Hallelujah. What a beautiful, beautiful passage of scripture. And it tells us of the high points of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Amen. This morning, we are talking about spiritual appointments. Amen. Because verse 4, all this was done that it might fulfill that which was spoken by the prophet. This was said long ago. So what was happening now is just the fulfillment of a prophet's word. Amen. So this morning we are talking about spiritual appointments. Amen. Amen. What is an appointment? An appointment is a predetermined meeting at a place and time. That's an appointment. Hallelujah. And so what's happened on Palm Sunday was an appointment. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. It was an appointment. It was not that it just happened by chance on that day that, oh, just by chance, Jesus was walking and then the disciples say, Master, you tire. He said, I tire. Challenge some donkey day somewhere. Make you go bring him. And then they brought it. Then he sat down and then like a taxi by chance. He made a taxi and then he took off. No. It was are you listening? It was predetermined. It was written down long ago that this thing will happen. And it happened. Amen. And it happened according to what was said. And as it happened, it led to something else. Now, this morning, I want you to understand that some things in your life are determined to happen. Your silence has begun. Some things in your life are determined. They are determined. They are determined. The most sure appointments that you have, Hebrews 9:27. This is the most sure. Look, of all the appointments, doctor's appointment, nurse's appointment, every appointment you have, this is the most sure appointment that you have. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. This is the most sure appointment that you will have in your life. So Jesus too had, there are many other appointments, okay? And this is the one that, tell neighbor, if I cannot tell you the other ones, other marriage, passing, exam, doctor, I don't know, this one, I can tell you. Amen. Now, listen to something. Luke 13. And verse 33, Jesus said, after that, I must go because all prophets should die in Jerusalem. Are you listening? Jesus said, this is the King James, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. This is old English. This is the modern English. After that, I must go because all prophets should die in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Luke 18. I'm showing you something this morning. Luke 18. Then he took unto him, verse 31, the 12, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Amen. What is he saying? That there's an appointment. There's an appointment written by the prophets, and I intend to keep it. I don't know if they're listening to me. And I intend to keep it. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Hallelujah. Let's go to Mark. Another version of this same discussion is in Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. Jesus and those with him were on their way to Jerusalem. He was at the front of the group. His followers were wondering what was happening, and the people who followed behind them were feeling afraid. Why? Because let me jump to John chapter 11 And I'll come back to the Mark 10. John 11, verse 7. After this saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Verse 8. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. That's why they were afraid. Because they had been threatened in Jerusalem not long ago. And so when he said, we are going to Jerusalem, they said, hey, you are going here again, where there's trouble waiting for us. Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest hither again? Asking about, what is he thinking? There was trouble there, and he's going there again? So let's go back to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Are you with me? Okay, let me start from verse 32. And Jesus and all those with him were on their way to Jerusalem. This is after he had said this thing in John 11. He was at the front of the group, and his followers were wondering what was happening. Where are we going? And the people who followed him, followed behind them, were feeling afraid. Why? Because they had heard this thing, and they were aware of what had happened earlier when they tried to stone him. And then he passed to the crowd, John 10. They tried to stone him. You forgot your Bible. And he said, and he told them, okay, Jesus gathered the 12 apostles again and talked with them alone. And he told them what would happen in Jerusalem. He said, we are going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over to the leading priests and teachers of the law. They will say that he must die. I don't know whether you are reading the same Bible as I'm reading. Hey, and will hand him over to the foreigners, the Romans, who will laugh at him and spit on him. They will beat him with whips and kill him. But on the third day after his death, he will rise to life again. Amen. So today is the going. Friday is the beating. And Sunday is the rising. Hallelujah. Oh, we shall be here. We shall be here all along. But my message this morning is simply this. Are you ready for this lesson? Most suffering and loss that we experience is not willing or voluntary, but is forced or imposed on us. Shabaya. I finished my message. Most suffering, most loss that we pass through or we endure in this life is not willing. No. It's not willing at all. It is imposed and forced on us. So the only way that you will endure suffering is because somebody forced you to suffer. And somebody made you suffer. And that's the only way that you will ever have suffering in your life. Because all of us, as we sit here, default setting is we avoid suffering 99%. We at all costs, we will do all we can just to avoid suffering. We will not suffer. Shabaya, tofi akwa. Suffering. Suffer. No. Who came here to suffer? Who was born to suffer? Nobody. My simple message is this. Jesus knew what was ahead of him. He even knew the details. How many have watched the Passion of the Cross before? Hey, how many didn't cry? How many cried? Yeah. If you didn't cry, you are special. You are a pseudo-Roman or something. No, if you didn't cry, if you sat to that film and you were smiling happily, you didn't do itch, you didn't twitch at any point. No, you are not a normal. No, I'll come to you later. No, because he, and you see, Jesus knew. That's why at Gethsemane, when he knelt down to pray, he said, Charlie, I am, all his life, he had not been disturbed before. But at that Gethsemane garden, he said, look, I'm disturbed. Pray. All, you see, Jesus' prayer time, said, he was always alone. He would go and pray alone, go and pray alone. This one, Charlie, make you go. I need moral support. And then they went, then the guys, oh, they slept on him. And he woke them up. Charlie, you guys, you, not at this time. Not at this time. What is ahead there is wild. Let's pray. Then he prayed, When he came back, they slept again. Hey, and you see, and nowhere else did he pray that sweat came. Ah, that blood too came. No. He knew somebody, some people think that when Jesus went to the cross, they said, we're going to crucify you. Okay, crucify me. Bring your hand. Hammer the nail. Pam, pam, pam. Are you finished? Other hand. Pam, pam, pam. Okay, I'm ready to die. No, that's not how it was. It was painful. Like I'll say, pinch your neighbor, but some of you are not correct. You pinch too hard. So don't pinch your neighbor. I saw Kevin already reaching out to pinch. No, it was painful. It was not easy at all that he just hung there and he said, please, to the left. A bit to the left. And then, yes, avoid this line. I like this line. Put the nail here. No, it was a torturous event. But Jesus embraced it. He knew it was coming and he embraced it and he said, let's do it. And the guy said, Master, are you sure that we should go to this Jerusalem? Because not long ago, they were trying to stone you and you are going again. And he said, let's go. We are going. And go back to John 11 and Thomas. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go. If he's going, the thing here is death there. It's death there. Let us go. That we'll die with him. So as they were going, are you listening? They were aware of the fact that there was trouble up ahead. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to tell you something. Number one, our future, are you listening? Our life in this Christianity, Luke 9, our life in this Christianity is what? Luke 9, 23. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and what? Oh, your pride has come. And what? It has not gone fully. Some of you are not talking still. Take up his cross and what? And follow daily and follow me. Hallelujah. So that is, look, tell me about, that is the Christianity that we have taken on ourselves. That is what we have laid, put our hands to under plow. That we have come to join a man, like Thomas said, we are going, let's go along. Let's go along and be with him because it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. It's going to be painful and difficult, but we are going. I didn't hear amen. You didn't come for this kind of message this Easter. You wanted the Hosanna message. It's not a Hosanna message. No. It is an appointment with suffering. Amen. It is a I came here to tell you that by becoming a Christian, please tap your neighbor. I think this one is for you. By becoming a Christian, you have agreed to suffer. Or you don't like, you want to change the message. By saying, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I will follow you. You have agreed. You have said, I will suffer. You have not gone to university to go and do a course, even whatever course, dendrology or whatever it is. You say, oh, there's no exam. You are not serious. You are not serious. Once you have seen that admission letter and you have entered into the campus and gone to one lecture, you must know that a pressure is coming on you sooner or later. Or it's not true. Sooner or later, you will be awake at night sweating, wondering, why did I come here? What trouble is it? I could have gone to do another course. That is easier. How many have you had that thought before? To change my course for another course. That is easier than what I've chosen by mistake. I didn't know it was like this. Yeah. But, yeah, so. We'll go and relax and take something easy and be there. Yeah. But prisoner, tell your children, by becoming a Christian, you have agreed that I've come to suffer. That's why Jesus said, if any man will come after me, Luke 9, 23, if any man will come after me, let him take up his what? Cross. Cross is, we have forgotten what cross means. We have forgotten what cross stands for. It has become a nice golden jewelry on our chest or in our ears. It has become something, or on a ring. It has become a nice decoration. But a cross is not at all. You should put a cutlass. Cutlass there in Rwanda. Put a cutlass. Or when you go to Ukraine, put a drone there. It's a killing machine. It's a killing machine. It's not a decoration. Right now, you see, when somebody wants to write an article, many people, when you hear drone, you see four wings and a small platform flying. You say, oh, drone is some simple thing, taking pictures. That's not a drone. When you say drones, no, that's not a drone. You are a child. You are a child in safe environment. That's why you're in a hall with a cinema and you are seeing a drone a flying around, taking pictures, zoom in, zoom out. No. A drone is a killing machine. Yeah. It's a killing machine, not a toy. Amen. Yeah. So, no. Listen. We have laid aside all remembrance of the fact that there is some suffering in this thing called Christianity. That is why you are shocked. You are surprised at attacks, at disturbances. You're like, hey, what's happening to me? Tell somebody you're not serious. It's normal. I mean, somebody woke up and said, hey, the lecturer came to tomorrow exams. What is this? You're not serious. What kind of lecturer is this? What kind of, hey, I just came to small school to have fellowship with my fellow students, travel around town, go to a hall, have a bed, relax. The lecturer came, no exam. What is this? You're not serious. That is why we came. In fact, that is the key to getting out of here. Passing to the exams. I don't know whether you're with me this morning. Yeah, but we have, most of us, we have sidelined suffering. We have made it such a rare, unusual thing that when you hear the word suffer, pain, trouble, Jesus even outlined what they will mock me, whip me, spit on me, laugh at me. He said, they will do this to me. You who are here, when this thing happens to you, you are shocked. You are shocked. You are surprised that there's any tension, any pressure, any difficulty happening to you as a Christian. You're not serious. You're not a proper Christian. Amen. I said, you're not a what? Proper Christian. Tell your neighbor, if you are surprised at suffering, you are not. No, the not should be louder. You are not a proper Christian. You are a shabby, second class, sanquas. Give me more words. Give me more words. Give me more words. Those of you who went to school. Pseudo-Christian. You are not a Christian because Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And you see, I like this one in Mark 10. Jesus was walking at the front. Mark 10, 32. He was walking at the front. We are going. We are not holding back. So, I mean, sometimes say, Charlie, you guys go first. I'm coming back. Let me take my time. No. We are going. Amen. I didn't hear a good amen. Amen. That is what Jesus led us to believe. This morning, if you are a proper Christian, you will be also like Jesus. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. A man called Paul who saw Jesus. But now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save is old English. Except that the Holy Spirit witnesses is old English, tells me that in every city, what bonds and what afflictions are waiting for me there. Bonds and affliction are waiting for me there. But none of these things move me. Excuse me, please, my dear neighbor, are you a Christian? Please, excuse me. I'm just checking. Testing mic 1, 2, 1, 2. I'm just testing whether I'm checking. Are you a Christian? But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hey, that's Christianity. What I have received from Jesus, I now see that interwoven with this thing is suffering. It is like Gary and sugar mixed. You can't separate it again. No. It has jollof. Jollof is mixed. It's not rice and stew. It's jollof. Rice and stew is different from jollof. Or it's the same thing. If you take rice and stew and mix it, is it jollof now? It's not jollof still. It's still rice and stew. Yes. This one there is something else. They are interwoven. They were cooked. So the jollof is in the rice, not mixed around the rice. It's in the rice. Hallelujah. So if you are going to be a Christian, look. Tell me, but I'm sorry. It's not me. It's that man up there. He told me to tell you. You suffer. Say the whole thing. Suffer. As if you are happy, you're going to suffer. Say it well. You suffer. You suffer. You suffer, pa. The man told me to tell you. No. I mean, as if you are happy, you're going to suffer. Okay, sit by your enemy and I can tell him this. You suffer, pa. You will see pepe. You will see pain. That's what we have taken on ourselves. Hallelujah. Are you listening? You will suffer. Let me show you what it is. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe, which you have done, you have believed, but also to what? Oh, also to what? Oh, you're not saying it well. Also to what? Suffer. Suffer. You're going to suffer. Angelo, I'm sorry to tell you. Please tell him for me that you suffer. Oh, no, you're ladies. Say it well. Bring your quarrelsome spirit up and say it well. You suffer. That's the promise I've given us. Amen. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and St. Timotheus, verse 2. Our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Why? That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. That this thing, it is an appointment, is destined for us. What is? Verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that what? We should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And you know, hallelujah, hallelujah. So this morning, I came to tell you something, that expect a suffering. Expect it. I'm giving you 2 or 3 points. This is point one. Expect. No, tell me about expect it. Don't be surprised again. From today, if something bad happens to you, mocking, what again? Disappointment. What again? What are the bad things you can have? Accident, failure. You fail your exam. Don't fail exam. Don't fail exam. In this church, you don't fail exam. No, in this church, you don't fail exam. Yeah, but that trouble shouldn't be. Add another trouble. Not that one. Add something else. COVID or something, monkeypox. But don't add failing your exam to your trouble in this church. Sickness, yeah. Broken heart, yes. Broken heart. What again? Disappointment, failure of friends let you down, mocking by classmates, teasing in school. They are calling you Krife Saike or calling you a pope. Or calling you Cardinal Kevin, or D4, all the mockings. No, all the mockings, all the teasings that will come that are possible to tease you, and then this. Look, ask the neighbor, has a man failed you before? Please, ask your neighbor, has a man, I don't like your, Kevin, ask him, or a woman, maybe a woman. Has a man or a woman failed you before? What is he saying? No. No. Hey, you are next. He said yes. Say, oh, praise the Lord. Who said no? If he said no, say, you are the next person to see broken heart failure, disappointment. You are next. If he said yes, I've had some, say, oh, okay, praise the Lord. It's normal. It's normal. That's how it is. That's the life you have been called to. Expect it. Ah, you are in school. Then you came to school January, February, March. Then they say exams. Hey, exams. What? You are a fool. What are you thinking? After 2 months, what do you expect? Exams. Exams. You say, how do you know? No. I don't accept it. There will be trouble. Amen. Point one. Point two. Embrace it. Embrace it. Accept it. Don't be shocked. If you get a problem, say, I knew you were coming. I knew you were waiting in the corner. When a man breaks your heart, say, I know your type is in the world. Yes. I know your type. You are the people who make girls cry. Yes. You too, so I will do you, but it doesn't matter. I know you are in the world. Yes. 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 When somebody swerves you or chops your money, say, aha, scammers. Yes, I know you are in the world. You've taken my money, no problem. God will replace it. But you too, you may a wicked man do you some too. But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. That's how it is. So embrace it. Accept it. In fact, when you enter school, begin to say, exams are coming. I'm preparing for exams. I'm ready. That's all. Number one is what? Trouble is coming. Number two, embrace it. Embrace it. When I say, you see, expect and embrace are different. Because I want you to say that I am ready for any trouble. So when the trouble comes, I'm okay. Tell somebody I'm okay. Oh. Say I'm okay in the trouble. In the trouble. I'm okay. I'm okay. Something bad is happening to you. I'm okay. You will not die. I'm okay. Amen. Amen. Number three. This one. I need you to pay attention. Okay. Number three. When you try to avoid the trouble, you will meet a bigger trouble. No. When you try to avoid, you see, like, I don't want trouble, I want peace. So I've come to be a peacemaker. I don't want to be any contention. No. Rather, when you have that mind of, I want to walk in this world. I don't want any conflict. I don't want anybody to quarrel with me. I'm a Christian, meek and mild and humble. I want only a small donkey to ride on. When you have that mind, rather, you will get more trouble. Jonah chapter 1. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But, you see, Jonah didn't want to go. He was trying to escape. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, found the ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof to escape. And he went into it. But the Lord sent what? A great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea. So the ship was like to be broken, trying to escape a trouble. One of our pastors who was in Switzerland, prophet went to Switzerland some time ago to raise funds. It was a fundraising program. Amen. And this man was there, and he was among those. Tell me about when you become prosperous, don't hide your money. Don't hide your money. Yeah. He was going to hide his money. So when the program was getting to an end, he said, listen, let me get out of here. Let me get out of this meeting so that I can go. Then when they are asking for the money, I'm not here. So he left the meeting. They were going to ask for me 1,000 euro or something euro. Everybody contribute 1,000 euro to raise money for a project. So he left the meeting before the end. And when he came down to his car, he was driving. You know, they always park close. So he was trying to drive out of the place. Then his car scratched the car ahead of him. When he got down, a small scratch, like in Ghana, you mind. But he saw it. So he got down and said, Then he wrote his phone number and put it on the windscreen wiper of the car. Please call me. I've scratched your car. And then I will discuss it. Then he just went away. I've escaped 1,000 euro contribution to a cause that I don't fully believe in, because at that time. So he went away waiting for a call. Monday, no call. Tuesday, no call. Friday, no call. I said, the man didn't bother. He didn't call me. I'm okay. I'm moving around town, driving. After 1 month or 2 months, I forgot how long it was. One day when he comes, I'll ask him. He was driving now, pumping. Police car behind him. Hey, what is this? Then they stopped him. Mr. Man, you are under arrest. For what? Hit and run. Hey, what hit and run? They say you hit a car some time ago and you ran away. He said, no, I put my phone number there. I wrote my phone number and put it there. They said, no, that number, we have called it. It doesn't go. We have called that number. It doesn't go. He said, how? Let's check. So when they check, he made a mistake in his own phone number. He left out one figure. Oh, police said that you have hit and run. And so we have been investigating this case for 2 months. Hey, look, he said they fined him €11,000. He had to pay a fine. You see, no, Ghana, we are not serious. You pay the fine, then you pay the police for the work they did to find you. Yeah. So he paid, he said, I shall pay the 1,000. I shall pay it. No, he paid 11,000 pounds, a euro. So he came as a prophet. I'm sorry. Here's the money. Look, trying to escape. Another pastor, this one's colleague or not. They were doing fundraising. And then they were going to raise funds. At that time, I've forgotten what it was. And he was in the meeting. And he said, no, I won't give because I have some money saved. He had about, I think, some thousands of CDs that he has saved lying there. And he said, no, prophet said, let's bring the money to do a project. He says, no, like just a few when you're in church. Oftentimes, when you're about to teach, no, I'm not giving any offering. I'm not giving you an offering. I'm just sitting down here. Then your hand is in your pocket. Fist. A fist in your pocket. That's how determined you are. You won't give. So he said, no, this money is not for church to go and do anything. I'll keep it for myself. So he said, when he left service, he didn't give. He left service the next day or something. Then the day after, his mom called him. She said, look, Akwesi, not Akwesi, but Akwesi, I'm going for a funeral. I need money. Please give me 3,000 cedis. That's the money he had. Oh, the money he was saving for himself that he wouldn't give to God, now he's going to a funeral. His mom said, oh, mom, I don't have money. He said, oh, no. I know you have money. That's his mother. I know you have money. Bring it. Bring it and let me use it. I'm going for a funeral. Whose funeral? Your cousins, uncles, aunties, brothers, sister-in-law. Those funerals that if you don't go, nothing happens. He said his mother collected the money from him. And he said it pained him. That, I shall give it to church to go and do their building project. Now it's going to do a foundation somewhere, some funeral somewhere. Tell anybody, if you try to escape suffering, you will often end up in a bigger suffering. You will have your prayer meeting, you won't come. You will go and meet Jack Toronto. Do you know Jack Toronto? You will see a Jack Toronto who will break your heart. He will take you for a ride and then make you, you are the back pass to the other slippery Jack, Dirty Daniel and all those peoples. Amen. Number three. Do not attempt to escape poverty. I say, I'm giving the same points. When you try to escape, you end up in deeper troubles. Pass through. Are you hearing me? Pass through. Pass through the trouble. Decide. I will go into it. Decide. This is my portion. It came with the cross. Decide. If you are in trouble, please tap your neighbor and tell him, if you are in trouble now, do not be discouraged. It shall be well. Oh, I didn't. Look, tap your neighbor on the shoulder. If now you are in trouble, I don't know what kind of trouble it is, but don't add exams to that. This church, exams is not a trouble, it's life. No, pass through it. Because Jesus said, on the third day, I will rise again. Oh, you didn't clap for that one. On the third day, I will rise again. after every trouble, there is a promotion. After every exam, you are never the same. You always go up higher. No exam, you pass, they say, oh, I'm sorry, stay in the same. No, no, no. You have gone, you are getting marks, you are getting credits. You are getting, you are making a way for it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings. The Spirit of Christ told them of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow after. Amen. There'll be a glory. I said, there'll be a glory. Ah, you are suffering. Oh, suffer now. Suffer. Look at this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. I mean, look at it. It's light. And it's for a moment. You are 30 years old and you have been crying for only 1 year. 1/30. Do the calculation. It's a small percentage. It's nothing. Tell somebody you are crying for only 1 year. You are doing, not remedial. This church, you don't do remedial. You are crying for broken heart for 1 year. Yes, they broke your heart last year, January, and you have been crying for 1 year, and you feel that God has left you. Only one, tell me, but only 1 year crying. Out of 30 years, you are not serious. It's a small affliction. What? Which is but for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Put your hands together this morning. Amen. Tell your neighbor, after crying, you'll be laughing. I said, look, this short cry. See, this short, what the thing? Light affliction for a moment. Keep these words in mind. Light, say, pastor, you don't understand. I mean, this pastor man up there, he doesn't know what pain is. Look at what he's talking by heart, my light affliction. He's talking as if by broken heart. He doesn't know what broken heart is. I mean, he's just sitting down there and say, I'm in debt. They are chasing me. Somebody called me yesterday. He's in debt. I should send him money. I need help. I mean, and he was really talking plenty. This pastor man doesn't understand trouble. You don't know trouble. I said, you don't know trouble I've seen before. You know, I mean, no. Tell him, your light, please look at your neighbor. Your light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's just 2 years. Oh, and it's only one foolish boy. That's all. That's the most big trouble that's the biggest trouble. Oh yeah, I'm going to go and borrow money and you have in debt. That's the trouble. And the man is insulting you always. Foolish boy, where's my money? Foolish girl, where's my money? Foolish girl. Always. That's the only trouble. It's a light affliction. You have not died. You're still walking around. And you are still eating. Haven't you eaten yesterday? You ate yesterday. Even with the debt, you ate. Oh, what's your problem? With a broken heart, you ate. You ate with a broken heart. Oh, what's the problem? Clap for the broken heart. clap for the debt. Light affliction for a moment. But listen, I'm closing. When you try to escape it, imagine you are a nurse giving somebody an injection and you are doing your hand like this. No, it will end up causing a bigger problem than just a small pim pim. It will be a slash and blood is coming. I mean, just stand still and take it like a man, like a woman. I don't know what you are. Tell me, Willow, where's my syringe? You took it home. Go and bring my syringe. Stand still. You know, one day I was going for my CSM vaccination with these children. They were all in line like that. We had to go in vaccination. And then we had to get there. When we got there, there was a grown man, a big man, bigger than Kevin. Big man. All of you are not speaking like that. Yeah. Look. The man. They were come to give the injection. And when they brought the syringe out, nurses are wicked. Nurses are wicked. Look. Look at this. And they do like this. Look at this. It's wicked. Look at this. And I'm coming towards you. I'm coming to you with this thing. It's wicked. It's very wicked. I mean, and the nurses too. They hold it like this. So you can see your trouble. You can see your trouble. So as they are coming, and the man was, hey. Grown man. Big man. Grown man. When I saw him, I said, me, I can't do this. So I came and I bit my cheek. And I stood there and said, you give it to me. Oish. Also, the kids were there too. I can't cry when the children are watching me. I did this. Eesh. I took the injection. Hey! Like this. But when you are trying to escape or dodge, then you have a bigger problem. Listen. Embrace it. Go through it. Where's my scripture? Light affliction that is but for a moment, but is working in you a far more exceeding weight of glory. What a blessing. Let the trouble come. Every trouble brings a glory, brings a promotion, and brings a good news in our lives. Put your hands together this morning.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 11275. God bless you.